Up to now we've been discussing the case of somebody owes money, and he owes money either because he damaged or because his wife needs a ksuba, or because he borrowed. And he has different responsibilities of, he has to pay, what type of quality field he has to pay, different responsibilities. What we have established is that seems to be a halacha, the way that Rashi learns, the three Rashi's learning and understanding is that he pays according to, you measure his level of quality that he has to pay according to him. No, you don't look at anyone, look at him, he's the one paying, he has to pay rules according to his quality, top, middle, bottom, according to him. That's what we seem to discover. Now the Gemara is going to discuss, this whole Gemara is going to discuss when he devolves, dissolves, what's it called?
Dissolves his assets.
Yeah.
Because he
sells everything else. Sells all his assets, and there's nothing from him. Not money. He's got no money. He has no. He's not liquidated because he's got no money. He's got no money. He's got no assets. The assets which he had, the karka, has now gone into a third party who wasn't. He has no personal life obligation to any of these debts. What's going to happen under those circumstances? What the rules are? You're going now to the third party to collect money, who wasn't, hasn't got the obligation, but what he has got is the asset which was originally under the person who had the obligation. So what happens then? So this is what this Gemara says. So Tana Rabban says this is what happens. Mocha le'echot. The person who owes money sold all his assets to one person. Oh, the shlosh bnei odom ke'echot. All three different people at the same time, he sold his assets. Kulon nichnasu tachas sabalim. All them, all the buyers, they now are in place of the original owner, which means he said he had three fields. Yushalayim bnei brat bet shemesh. He had three debts, Mazik, Balchov, and Ksubizisha. Each one has their place, different place for each other in those three fields. He sold all those fields to three different people. Reuven got the Yerushalayim field, Shimon got the Bnei Brak field, Levi got the Bet Shemesh field. Says the Gemara, they all now take the place of the original guy, and they have to now give over those assets to the respected people who now make a claim. Everyone understand? So Reuven, who's got now the Yerushalayim, has to pay that, give that Yerushalayim field. He bought the Yerushalayim field, now he has to give it to the guy who was damaged. And Shimon, who bought the Bnei Brak, has to give to the field to the one who borrowed money, and the last one, Bet Shemesh, the one, has to give it to the woman who's asking for ksuba.
This is when the original owner has no more money left from what he sold.
Got nothing left. Nothing left. He's got nothing left. Had original assets which now are in the third party's hands. That's if they acquired them at all at the same time. We're not going to discuss what same time means. That's when we do the Gemara again. We'll discuss that detail.
After the debts were incurred.
After all the debts were incurred, all the obligations were due, and then he sold all these assets at the same time to three different people. If it didn't take place at the same time, he sold Yerushalayim first, or he sold the Bnei Brak, then the Bet Shemesh, yeah? Kulon govim in acharon. New rule, all of them, all the ones who want money, the one who was damaged, the wife, and the one who owes money, all of them can only go to the guy who bought the last field. Whatever field he bought, whatever field was bought last, that's the one you can go to. And all of them have to go to him. Why? We're going to see on the base, there seems to be some sort of takona or halacha, don't know what it is, that says that there's somebody sells their assets, if he has by him still, the original person that owes the money has still got a piece of land by him, even though he's dissolved all his assets elsewhere, he's still got that piece of land. The only place they can go is to him, because he's the original guy who owes the money. He owes the money, he's still got a piece of land, you can only go to him. Even though it's rubbish piece of land, you can only go to him. Even though the good piece of land, or the one that you're entitled to, is elsewhere, you still only can go to him. Because the guy who owes you money has still got a piece of land.
What does it mean?
To get your money. You owe money.
But the
Mazik says, you owe me money. I want to go to the Yerushalayim field, but you've already sold the Yerushalayim field. You've still got Bet Shemesh, I have to go to Bet Shemesh. I can't go to Yerushalayim field.
So what happened to the lien in Yerushalayim field?
We're not talking complicated things called liens. I'm just saying facts, what the Gemara said. Facts the Gemara said seems to be is that you can only go to, if he's still got a piece of land, you can only go to the guy who actually owes you the money. It doesn't matter what quality that land is. So therefore, the first two buyers they bought fields and they left property by the original guy. So the person who's going to now take on all the obligations is only the last guy. Because until the last guy came along, they could never come to the first two buyers. First two buyers said, you can't come to us because we're still land by the original guy. So the only guy who now takes on all responsibility is the last guy who bought it. So they can only go to him.
If it's an affluent, whatever.
I know, the Gemara carries on. Okay. Kulam Govinachon, they only could go to him. Ainlo, if he's got, he gives the land, but it's not enough to cover all the debts. Govinachon from the farms, then you go to the guy who bought the second last land to fill up. Ainlo.
The difference, yeah.
Ainlo, if even the second guy is not enough to fill up, then Govinachon from the third farms, then you go to the third guy, the guy who bought the first field. Okay?
Well, so when they come to the first guy, there's only one property left. But you've got three people now that are claiming against this property. Do they share equally in that, or is there some hierarchy in who gets paid?
Pastors, they share equally based on that price that we said that sign on, based on the previous page, where if there's one piece of land to go to, it doesn't matter what quality, they all get equally. So pastors, they get equally.
Logically, you'd say the opposite way. So the first guy who gives the loan and the obligation should get his first, because when he gave his obligation, when he agreed to the obligation.
We're not talking about times.
Yeah.
We're not talking about there's a difference in times.
Ah.
It's talking about. No, you're talking about a case which the Gemara is not talking about.
Okay.
Not a different date.
Right.
Now, that's the Bryson. Okay? Gemara carries on and tries and analyzes the Bryson. He says, when you say the guy who owes the money sold all three properties to one guy, how did that happen? Well, what's the case? What's the options? Either the option is he sold all three. If you want to suggest he sold all three lands to one guy at the same time, made one contract and said, I'm selling you Yerushalayim, but they brought Bet Shemesh to you, Reuven, and he signed, and all three were transferred at the same time. So the one said, I've got problems, that's the scenario, because then Hashtar L'Shlosha, if you're really telling me when you sell all three lands to three different guys, they take the responsibility on, where it's possible when you're selling three different pieces of land to three different people, it's possible that one of those lands was bought first, yeah? Because Pashtus is that if you're sending three different lands, Yerushalayim to Reuven, and Bnei Barak to Shimon, and Bet Shemesh to Levi, is it possible to write one contract on that, or you have to write three contracts on that? If you have to write three contracts, is it possible to write them simultaneously and make a Kenyan simultaneously, or you have to do one before the other? Have you got three hands, or you got? Can you use? Are you a Rabbi Chaim Ozer that you can write three things at the same time?
Maybe two hands.
No, but as far as the kinyan.
So pastors, when you're writing three different properties to three different people, one of them obviously came first in getting it, and still that's called getting it at the same time. Even though he came first, it's still for some reason called getting it at the same time as the others. And he takes over, they all take over the obligations. So if that's called taking over when pastors, one of them came first, and still it's called together, then you don't need to tell me when you're selling all three lands in one contract to one person, that's called Bavasachas. That's obvious, Bavasachas. You don't need to tell me. Just tell me three guys, three fields, and it's still called together at the same time, so you don't need to talk about the one guy who's buying all three. With three different guys, three different fields, you could, in theory, one of them came first. Almost, you never say they all considered as buying it at the same time and take on the responsibilities. When you sell to one guy all three fields, my boy, you need to tell me. Ella, so what is the case when you sell three fields to one guy? What's that case? Which he now takes on responsibility of exactly the same guy as before. Must be this one guy bought Yerushalayim, B'nai Brak, Bet Shemesh at different times, not the same times. One guy, Reuven, bought Yerushalayim, Bet Shemesh, and B'nai Brak, different times, different days. And nevertheless, even though it's different times, different days, he still has to give Yerushalayim to the Mazik, the Nizik. He still has to give the Bnei Brak to the Baal Chod, and he still has to give the Bet Shemesh to the Ksubas Isha. Even although he bought one of them lost. Might, so come on then, ask. Might na shlosha to chol chad v'chad. What's the difference when it's three guys, three fields at three different times? Who do you go to? Who do we say you go to?
Last guy.
You can't go to the first two guys. The other two guys can say, "Don't come to me. Go to the field which is still left by him, the last guy." Hanami. So if it's you're talking about one guy buying three fields at three different times, which one should you go to? Which fields are those? Of those fields which this one guy bought, which one should you go to?
One
guy bought three fields, yeah, and in all different times, which one should we say that you can only go to? All of them can only go to which one?
By the last.
I want everyone to understand this. Everyone understands that? If he bought it three different times, Monday bought one, Tuesday bought another, Wednesday he bought another. Which one is the one which is going to have all the obligations landing on it? Last one. So it should be only the last one. But you said no, you say all of them have obligations to pay. So how can you say that? It should be only the Wednesday one. You say the Monday has to pay whatever the Monday is, Tuesday has to pay whatever the Tuesday is, the Wednesday has to pay whoever the Wednesday quality is. And you don't say all of them go to Wednesday. What's the difference?
That's one is the simultaneous and one is ordered spread apart.
It's different. It's spread. But the Brayta says when one guy buys three fields, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, one guy, you don't go to the last one. You don't go to just Wednesday. If it's one guy who buys Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you don't go to Wednesday. The Mazik, whoever bought Monday quality, you go to Monday quality.
If I'm buying three fields and I know that he owes money and I know that they're going to come change with me, I'm going to buy the best on Monday.
The Gemara says it's not like you.
Okay.
Yeah. But the last question is, I don't understand the Brighton. It says one guy bought three fields on three different days. You can go to the Monday fields, you can go to the Tuesday fields, you can go to the Wednesday fields, and you're not limited to the Wednesday fields, even though it's the last one. But it's three guys, three different fields, you can only go to the last guy. What's the difference? That one guy should say, "You can't go to the Monday, go away. You're trying to get Monday for me? Monday, it was the first field. Tuesday, you try to get Tuesday field, you can't go for it, it's the second field. The only one you can go to is the Wednesday field. He should say, go to the Wednesday field, not from the Monday and Tuesday. So Gemara says, so must be talking about a case. And Wednesday he bought Yerushalayim. He bought Yerushalayim on Wednesday. Now, if he bought Yerushalayim on Wednesday, which one does he want to protect? He's got Yerushalayim, but they brought Bet Shemesh. Which one does he want to keep by him out of those three? Which one does he want to keep?
Yerushalayim.
But he bought it the last. He bought it on Wednesday. So it's a bit of a pickle. Normally everyone could go to the last one, which means all of them would be crowding onto his Yerushalayim. He's definitely going to lose his Yerushalayim, because not only has one debt to pay, he has all three to debt to pay, because all three of them go to the last one, which ends up being, in this case, Yerushalayim. Not like Yosef said. He wasn't clever enough, had the ability to convince the guy to sell the Yerushalayim first. He got Yerushalayim right at the end. And now all the debts on that. So he doesn't want that. He doesn't want the debts to go on Wednesday. Don't go on the last one. So how's he going to stop them going on the last one? So this is what he does. The Gemara now comes up with a new chiddush. This is the third chiddush. We're talking about a scenario where he bought Yerushalayim on Wednesday, where all of them are coming to him because it's the last one. So all of them should really take from Yerushalayim. They should all take from Yerushalayim because it's the last one. Take it from Yerushalayim. Last one, you go to the last one, Yerushalayim. They're laughing because now the Baal Chov is now getting Yerushalayim, and even Subhazisha is getting Yerushalayim because it's the last one. They all want it. They love it. So what's he going to do? Shum Zomelu, he can say to them, the buyer, Reuven, can say to them, if you're clever, if you're willing to play a game, if you're willing only to take what you're entitled originally to, you, Mr. Nizik, were entitled to Yerushalayim, so you can have a bit of Yerushalayim. You, Baal Chov, are really only entitled to Bnei Barak. You want Yerushalayim? If you're clever, listen to me, if you're clever, take Bnei Barak. It's good for you to take Bnei Barak. And you, so this is just take your Bet Shemesh. Make this agreement. Yeah, you don't have to. You can try and chase Yerushalayim because it's the last one. But I give you an eighth of Tovah. Don't chase Yerushalayim. Don't go after Yerushalayim, and just go after what you originally had. Why? It's an eighth of Tovah because if you try and get Yerushalayim, I'll pull a fast one on you. What fast one I'm going to pull on you? Elo, if you don't agree to my agreement, Mahajan Yashtar Dizibur Shlamare, what I'll do is I'll take the Bet Shemesh one, I'll sell it back to the Rizal owner. And therefore, the Rizal owner will have Bet Shemesh. And we got a rule at the beginning of the Gemara says that if the original person who owes you money, the real guy owes him money, he's still got a piece of land, you can only go to him.
Yeah, but the time correct,
you can only go to him if the original guy's got a piece of land, you can only go to him. So you know what? I'm going to sell Bet Shemesh back to him, so that he'll have Bet Shemesh, and that's the only land he'll have, and all of you will have to take Bet Shemesh. All you will have to take Bet Shemesh, because all you can only take from the original guy in such a case. So therefore, I'm making a deal with you. You play a game, you go along, and you don't take, be too greedy. Don't be greedy. Take what you were destined to take originally, and then, fine, he'll take Yerushalayim, he'll take a bit of Bnei Barak, he'll take a bit of Shemesh. I'm willing to do that, give you the same rights as you originally. But if you all want to enforce your rights, which you're entitled to go after the last field, which is Yerushalayim, you want to stay all from Yerushalayim, then I'm going to pull the fast one, halakhic loophole, and give Bet Shemesh back to the original owner, so now all of you can go only take Bet Shemesh. So you four have to agree to my deal. So that's what the Bryce is talking about, where he says, he, even though he took Yerushalayim last, he doesn't need to give Yerushalayim to all of them. because of the deal. The deal he made, that Yerushalayim goes only to the Mazik, the Nizik, and the Bet Shemesh will end up going to the original Baal Chov, and the rubbish one will go to the Isha. Fine. Why does that happen? You shouldn't really go to Yerushalayim, because he says, I'm going to do this fast one. If you try and get too much, too greedy, I'll do this. So I end up being Bimko Labalim. I end up doing what the original guy does, because you can't force me more than that, because I'll just give back the Bet Shemesh and you'll all lose. So no point forcing me to do this. Yes?
Two questions. The first one is, in other words, the guy who bought the fields, and the guy started to claim on him already, right? Because they can't claim the other one has a field.
Yes.
After that, he can go back and give land back to him, and then all of a sudden it goes back to him?
Yes.
Good?
Yes.
That's kind of weird.
Yes.
But
let me say why. Let's say why.
And secondly,
let's say why. Just because he has no property and no money, means he doesn't owe money. He damaged somebody.
Okay.
He damaged somebody. This guy who's got nothing, he damaged somebody. Had a wife, no longer a wife. Yeah, he borrowed money, he hasn't paid back. He has nothing to pay. Doesn't mean he doesn't owe. Just because you've got no money, is. Yeah, does halacha recognize bankruptcy law?
No.
No. You owe money, even if you've got nothing, loan of meds, a bad estimate, you'll go to the caver owing money. Unless it gets paid.
It's terrible.
Yes?
It's terrible if you can't pay.
Yeah.
So why would this.
So therefore, it's just a technicality. I haven't got anything to give you.
Why would he take it?
But as soon as I get something that I'm not going to give you. As soon as I get something, I'm not going to give you.
Why would he take it back? Why would he take it back? You're talking about a case where he gave it, he had to sell it to begin with.
Can you force the sale back?
Why would he take it back in order for somebody else to
pay? So there's the cheshbon over here. Pashtas, what he means to say over here, it's not that he'll sell the Bet Shemesh back. He won't sell the Bet Shemesh necessarily back. But what he will do is that he'll give it as a present to Bet Shemesh back.
You have to accept the present.
Why not? You're not going to lose that. He had nothing to lose. He gave. He's now paid his loan. He doesn't have this problem in Shemayim now because he's paid his loan.
But he doesn't have to pay it though. I mean, meaning if it's collected from him.
Who's him? Him is very ambiguous. There's a few people around.
Right.
The original guy?
No, the
or the guy who bought?
The one who bought.
The bought, yes. Right. He's now bought three fields and paid money for three fields.
Right.
Correct. It's Kedai, he's making a chesbon that I want to keep this Yerushalayim. Look at the prices. Yeah? It's Kedai for me to throw my Bet Shemesh out to save Yerushalayim. That's my chesbon. Throw it out, give it for free, back to the original owner. That way I protect Yerushalayim. And once he's got Bet Shemesh, all you go to Bet Shemesh, I'm safe. He'll agree for sure, get a present, because then he's paying up his debts. I'm happy with that because I protect my Yerushalayim. All the people who are crying are the guys who are owed money because they're getting Bet Shemesh rubbish.
He doesn't even have to, that's what I'm saying, he doesn't even have to give it as a gift, in my understanding, because if this buyer, he has the three levels. If he then says, okay, look.
He's the only buyer, not last buyer. He's the only guy.
He's the only buyer, right.
Yes. He bought all three.
He says, ultimately.
They bought you supply and lost.
Ultimately, if you get anything, I'm going to get it. Because now, instead of this sale that they took it from me, I'm going to take it from you. So I'll tell you what, I'll let you just sit on it. So it'll be technically yours. Doesn't have to give it to him as a gift.
No. You're saying Kedushin, which you haven't seen.
No,
that's not what the Gemara says. Maybe Rashi says something like you, but the Gemara doesn't say like this. Gemara just says he'll give it back. He'll give it back as a present. Fine, that's the passion before.
There's only one problem, maybe. That woman said, you cannot scare me.
Okay, so
we'll see.
Okay.
Woman said, so how you scare me? How I get back worse?
If not, he says, look, do this deal with me, that take what you were originally going to take, not be greedy with you, Yerushalayim. If not, Mahajun Star, Zivon Samara, I'll give back Bet Shemesh, and you'll start with Bet Shemesh the result. For start, the Kulu Mizibus, and all of you end up taking for Bet Shemesh. So it's Kedai to just take what you originally were destined to take. To Kedai. So, Iyaki, I have a question, so just want to get. So, Iyaki, if so, if that's the reasoning, V'nizokim nami ne'mahoki. If that's the reason, if he's got such a strong card to play with them, and says, hey, don't go after my Yerushalayim, because you end up with Bet Shemesh, so why does he actually give, why is he agreeing to give the Nizik Yerushalayim? Why is he agreeing to give the Nizik some Yerushalayim? Because the Brisa says, he gives them what they originally were intended to get. So it means he gives the Nizik Tak a bit of Yerushalayim, he gives the Baal Chov the Bnei Brak, and he gives the woman the Bet Shemesh Rabbis. Why? Because he's got this card. He says, if you don't agree with me, then you end up with Bet Shemesh. If so, if he's got such a strong card, so why doesn't he just say to the Nizik, hey, I'm not even going to give you Yerushalayim. I'm not even going to give you what you want or intended to get or destined to get originally. Because if you go after what you were intending to get, which was Yerushalayim, you missed the Nizik. What is this? I'll just give back the Bet Shemesh to the original guy, and you missed the Nizik. We'll have to go to the Bet Shemesh. So therefore, why is he agreeing to give him Yerushalayim? He could say, look, I'm not going to give what you were supposed to get. The Bible says he taka gives you Yerushalayim. So why is he giving you Yerushalayim? If he's got such a strong God, why is he giving you Yerushalayim? Ella, so we have to change the case. Hachum askinon, biyasmi. We're talking about where the original guy who owes all the money, he died. The guy who owes money is dead. And he's just got children. Did children owe money? Let's say the father borrowed money, or the father had a wife, and now she's asking the suva, or the father damaged. Now the father's no longer alive. Do the children owe that money? What? Do they owe that money? Halacha.
They themselves do not owe the money.
They don't owe it. And so, do they have to pay?
No.
They don't have to pay. Yeah. The assets which they inherit from their father,
the estate,
they have to pay with the estate. But their own, they don't have to pay. Their own assets, right, they don't have to pay.
Right. Yeah,
they don't have to pay. Only what they inherited. Now, this guy who owed money to these three people was a pauper. Remember, he has nothing. Yeah? He sold everything and he's still got nothing. He's got no money, nothing. Yes? Mm-hmm. Then he died. Yes? Did they inherit anything?
No.
They didn't inherit anything. So do they need to pay at all?
Zero.
Now, comes along a guy called Reuben who bought all three fields. Yes? And gives a present of Yerushalayim to this child. Oh, not Yerushalayim. Gives Bet Shemesh to this child. It's a present. No. Yes? Is that Bet Shemesh something which they have to pay with?
No.
No? Because it's nothing to do with Yerushalayim. They've got a present. So therefore, it doesn't help giving Bet Shemesh to the children. You still can't go to they won't be obligated to go to the children because the children are not mukhiv to pay.
He's lost
his cards.
Right.
He said, I've got this card, don't mess with me, because you want to get more than you deserve, then I'll give back Bet Shemesh, you'll start with Bet Shemesh. But he's got no one to give Bet Shemesh back to. Because the only person to give Bet Shemesh back to is dead. The one he's going to give back to is the children. Children are not mechuyav to pay. Even gives back to them, they're not mechuyav to pay. So he's lost his cards. Okay? If he's lost his cards, then we're back to square one. So why can't they all go to Yerushalayim? Reuven bought Yerushalayim on Wednesday, the last one. The last one, they should all have to go, be able to go to Yerushalayim. How is he going to stop them going to Yerushalayim? They should all go to that, Yerushalayim. So they go back to square one. Yes, you love the pride. If it's children, the guy's dead, they're not mechuyav to pay. Rami. The only guy who's mechuyav to pay is the Reuven who bought the fields. Therefore, he's got no card to play. He's got no card to give back. He's got nothing to give back. He's stuck. If he's stuck, then we're back to square one. He should. The field, which field did he buy last on Wednesday? Which one?
Yerushalayim.
The only Yerushalayim is the one which they can get. So all of them will go to Yerushalayim. How's he going to stop them? Ella,
Shum Tomelei Tamamai. This is the last chiddush of the sugya. Shum Tomelei Tamamai Omer Rabbon. Ainu from the Chosim Shubah the Mokhna Sheish Bechorim. He says, look, why is there this halacha? Why is there this halacha that the guys who buy fields, the first field and the second field, as long as they don't buy the last field, the first and second field, whoever buys that is safe. Why is there that halacha that the guys who buy fields from somebody who owes money, if it's their first and second field and not the last field, they're safe? Why is there such a halacha? Why? So he says the Gemara, because a Rabbanon, it's a Rabbanon, it's a din to Rabbanon, a special Rabbanon din, a tzakona. They made a tzakona to protect these guys. Later on we'll discuss why they made the tzakona. It's a special tzakona. If you buy fields from somebody who owes money, you do not need to pay those fields as long as it's not the last field. Tzakona. Really you should. But tzakona. Special tzakona. We should tzakona to the D, Anna. But how tzakona to the Nikle? He says, for me, I bought all three fields. I bought Monday fields, Tuesday fields, and I bought on Wednesday Yerushalayim. Yes? Which one does he want to protect?
Yerushalayim, of course.
He doesn't want it. This rule of you always go after the last one is supposed to be good for buyers. For me, it's bad. We've got a rule, the special Tukana. Tukana says, Chazal says, you know, the first two fields off limits, the last field, that's where everything ends. Tukana. So the guy buys all of them. And he says, this Tukana is supposed to benefit buyers. Yeah? I'm the only buyer, for me it's bad. Because I don't want Yerushalayim to have all the debt on it. So, you know what? Don't do me favors, Chazal. Take your tzakona back and don't give it to me. Don't want your tzakona. You made a tzakona to protect me by saying it's only the last field that gets. Here it's bad, so don't want your tzakona. Don't want your tzakona. How do you know you can do such a thing? You can take a tzakona and say, no thank you. How do you know you can do such a thing? The Gemara proves it. I'm not happy with this tzakona, so don't want it. Because the Rava tells me you can do this. You can just throw tzakonas back and say, don't give it to me. How do you do that? Doma Rava. Call home, yes, but tzakonas coming. Could go and show me. Somebody says that they don't want a tzakonas. Say, help them. Somebody says, don't want it. It works. It works. They say, don't give me a tzakonas. It works.
Interesting.
How? Where do we see a similar thing? Go and do Ravuna, like Ravuna. Doma Ravuna. A similar thing Ravuna had. Yochol Ishus Tumah about the Eina Zones Eina Osa. What's the halacha? A woman is married, and she goes to work, and she gets wages.
Uh-huh.
Who do those wages belong to?
The husband.
Why do they belong to the husband?
Because he gives him mizonos.
Who gave the husband rights to her wages? Who gave the husband rights to their wages? Rabbanon. Really, the wages belong to her, nothing to do with her husband.
Uh-huh.
Rabbanon give it to her. Why do the Rabbanon give it to her, give it to the husband? Why do the Rabbanon give the wages to the husband?
Because she gets taken up, then she'll
have to pay
off. To encourage the husband to support her. Yeah. Yeah. We want you to support your wife. So in order that you should support your wife.
Give you money.
Give you money. Okay, it's all to cons. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So the woman said, what happens if the wife is a high-flying lawyer in Tel Aviv and her wages are 400,000 shekels a year? Yes? Is that enough to support her bread and butter and milk? And
no, he's not obligated anymore.
No, no. He wants that. The husband wants that.
She said, I don't need it.
He wants that money. So he'll say, I'll bring you bread and butter every day. And I'll get the 400,000. So she says, look, don't do me a favor. I don't want this tacona of feeding me. Give it back, this tacona of feeding me. Don't want it. Yes, I'll keep my wages in such a case. So we see similar things. Chazal gave a tzakona of feeding her for her benefit. She should be fed. and in lieu of being fed, you get paid her wages. The woman says, I made a cheshbon over here, forget the tekona, don't give me this favor of being fed, I'll keep my wages. So that's the source that if you get the chazal make a tekona for your benefit, you can just reject it whenever it, you feel it's not good for you. So here also, Chazal made a tekona that says the first guys who buy fields, the first two fields, are not on the hook, only the last guy. So over here the guy says, I don't want the first two fields to be off the hook and the last field to be on the hook, because the last field is Wednesday Yerushalayim, I wanted to protect that. So don't do me favours, I want all the fields to be on the hook, not just the last field. So therefore don't give me the tekona, we'll go back to the original thing that all fields are on the hook. All fields on the hook, so all of them you can come to, so all of them are available. So Yerushalayim, Beit Shemesh, and Bnei Brak are all available. So therefore, if you're entitled to Yerushalayim, you take Yerushalayim. If you're entitled to Bnei Brak, you take Bnei Brak, not Yerushalayim. If you're entitled to Beit Shemesh, of course, you only take Beit Shemesh, and that's the case of the price. And that is Pshat in the Gemara. Okay, so that's I think a good place to stop. You know, a bit earlier than usual, but. Mr. Shem, on Wednesday, we'll start the Gemara again. It's Kedai until Wednesday to go over just the Chidushim which he comes out. But I'll just, in this last 2 minutes, I'll say in 2 minutes, there's four Chidushim, four rules that came out over here for the Gemara. And then we're going to start the Gemara again. One rule that says that buyers. One chiddush, the Gemara says, four chiddushim has that. Buyers who are not obligated to pay any money, if they buy the assets from the guy who is obligated, they take his place. They do have to give over those assets to the original guys who were after them.
Even if they didn't know about it.
Even if they don't know about it, doesn't matter. Yeah. That's one chiddush. Second chiddush is that only if all of them bought them together, do they all have that obligation? But if they bought it at different periods of time, the only guy who has that obligation, or the first port of call for all obligations, is the last guy. Doesn't matter what type of field he buys, they all go to the last guy. First chiddush is that this is only a tekona. Really, they should be able to go to all the guys. Even the first guy should be on the hook. But it's a tekona that we don't want the first guy, because he took fields and he left by the original guy. So we don't want him to, mishum tekona, we don't want him to be exposed to problems. It's really me'ikah than he is. It's a tekona that says he's not exposed. Fourth chiddush in the sugya, there's something called the blackmail card, which the buyer can pay. And that is, as it says, if you try and get, for me, fields, because it's the last one, and the last one I bought is something which everyone wants, I can blackmail you with sending back a terrible property to the original owner, and you'll be forced to go to him. And you won't be able to touch anything of mine. And all of you, doesn't matter who you are, what rights you have, you'll end up being with the worst type of fields. Gush Katif field over there, that's the one you're going to have, that's the one I'm sending back to the original owner, and all of you will have to go to the Gush Katif in such a case. So you can play this game. Those are the...
Well, that's really depend on how big the claims are.
Okay.
Are
you obligated? You're not obligated.